Lighting is very important, especially for growing corals. And believe it or not, your fish, you know, like to have a light schedule too. You know, they like to have that, you know, their scheduled daytime and their nighttime. But yeah, corals specifically, I mean, they obviously, photosynthetic corals need light to grow, and they like a good photo period. You want to have the same photo period, and you like to, I personally like to mimic the photo period that they live in the wild. So I try to time it just right, you know, sunset to sunrise. I'm changing the settings on my light on the Caribbean tank all the time, you know, just trying to match like almost the exact sunsets. And that could also help trigger spawning events and stuff too. So the more accurate photo period you have to where your corals come from, the better chance you have of them spawning.
What's up, reef fanatics? Welcome to a special Christmas edition of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. And today, Levi, what are we talking about?
Equipment and dry goods needed for aquariums.
Yes, so if you're brand new to the hobby, setting up your first reef tank, or maybe you have a mid-size aquarium, or you're set up already, so we're going to talk about a couple of different pieces of equipment. I'll throw it to you, Levi. What do you got for us first?
Starting off, I have coral dip. Specifically, I use the Revi from Two Little Fishies. I just try to use a lot of their brand. I like their stuff. It's good quality products, and it's well thought out. But just coral dip in general, it's kind of, it's not a necessity, but I personally kind of think it's really important, especially you never know what's coming in on your corals. You never know where they were, where they've come from. So it's always good to give them, you know, a nice bath to try to remove as much of the pest that you can. Because, I mean, if you put something in a well-established tank that has a pest on it, it could demolish your whole tank in a matter of weeks, or if not less. Like flatworms, red bugs, there's a bunch of different little organisms that can sneak their way into your tank. And even if they're not entirely pests, like bristle worms that might be camping out on a frag plug that you don't see and stuff, like just trying to eliminate the factor of getting unknown things in your tank that you don't want. And I don't think you're going to ever have like a perfect tank where it's spotless and you don't have any pest or whatsoever. I think you're always going to end up having that, but it's best, you know, to try your best to try to avoid that the best that you can.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, flatworms especially, they can grow to like plague proportions really quickly.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I've had them in my aquarium, and I still have some flatworms going on, but you can always take a coral out of the tank, put it in Revive, and give it a little dip to get rid of any pests afterwards as well, or as things develop. But talking about coral dip, there was a video that Worldwide Corals put out, and they were talking about how you can just, when you get a coral from, well, I guess from them, you can take it home and put it right in your tank without using any dip. So you recommend using a dip for every piece of coral that you put in your tank?
Personally, I would just, you never know. I mean, even though they say that, I mean, you could, they're really good. Like, I know them pretty well, too. They're really good about keeping their corals clean and maintaining all their systems and stuff. But I'm just, I always do it just as a extra precaution, you know, just to, like, you know, drop the sweat, not have to worry really about it, just to be extra safe.
Yeah, for sure. And with Revive, I think when you're dipping it, it's like, you don't want to go really more than 10 minutes in the dip, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it tends to do the job relatively quickly.
Yeah, it's just a quick little dip to get your coral started off right. Have you seen any negative signs from using a dip? Because I hear people talk about when they dip a coral, it's going to affect the coral negatively before it goes in the tank. And so some people don't even dip at all.
So, I mean, you're obviously going to like stress the coral out a little bit as you're dipping it. Obviously, because it's not in just pure fresh water. A lot of, you get like citric acid and stuff that people use and other forms of dips that can be relatively strong, and certain corals don't handle that as well as others, like Acro specifically and some other SPS corals might not take to the dips as well. So you got to be extra careful when you're dipping those. But like, I think no matter what you do, I mean, you're going to stress the coral out a little bit. But in the long run, I think it's good for the health of the coral. I mean, trying to remove as much of those pests that you can if there's any on the frag plug or the colony.
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally on board with dipping corals. I use Two Little Fishies Revive as well. So it's a great coral dip. And if you want to find out more information, any of the products and equipment we talk about in today's podcast are going to be down in the description below and linked up in the show notes wherever you're listening to the podcast.
So as you guys know, we have been doing giveaways every week of December for the podcast that we've been doing. Congratulations to the winner for last week. The little Two Little Fishies package, Gania Power, little Nano Mag, and some sea veggies. This week, as you know, it's Christmas week. everyone's, you know, getting gifts for everyone, last second gifts. Yes. But we got a big last second gift
for everyone. I'm super excited about this big prize right here.
Yes, it's a big one. We're going to be giving away this hat, okay? Reef Nutrition hat, brand new, super nice. But that's actually not the grand prize. Reef Nutrition has proudly donated a $200 online e-gift card to whoever wins this giveaway.
That is amazing. That is awesome. $200 to Reef Nutrition's and a Reef Nutrition hat.
Yes.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Reef Nutrition's. How are they going to win? How do they get to win this?
All right, so we're going to pretty much just do what we've been doing. You know, comment below. Comment, we love Reef Nutrition or I love Reef Nutrition. You'll be randomly selected, and then we'll get you in contact with Reef Nutrition to get your gift card.
Yes, so make sure you do that. I mean, this is a huge prize. This is probably the biggest prize so far that we've been giving away here on the podcast. So, yeah, make sure. Leave a comment down below.
$200 to spend on good quality foods for your fish and coral, so definitely take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, they have things like, what, Mysis shrimp, the Mysis feast that you can feed. They have Phyto feast, so you can get phytoplankton for your tank.
Betta brine, copepods, the TDO, their famous TDO pellets. And they got everything. So definitely be sure to take advantage of this.
Absolutely. Next piece of equipment that I would say is like a must-have piece of equipment, unless maybe you have a smaller nano aquarium, but talking like a mid-range tank or even up to 125 gallons, like the tank size that I would recommend getting a protein skimmer. And so protein skimmer is really good at getting that waste out of your aquarium before it has a chance to really break down in the tank. And you can actually physically remove it from the system because you can see it collecting in the collection cup. So the bubbles that are being pushed up in the skimmer, they're fractionating or like breaking off and pushing that waste up into the collection cup. And then that salt water is going back into your aquarium. So the bubbles push out that waste. That's what that green nasty stuff is that you see in your collection cup is. And then, yeah, you can physically remove that from your tank. So it's a good way to manage fish waste in your aquarium.
Definitely. I agree with that.
So for systems that don't require protein skimmers, you're looking at aquariums that can be easily maintained by water changes, right?
Yeah, like nano systems. And I mean, a lot of like the all-in-one systems now, they actually make skimmers that will fit in the systems. But I mean, I know a few people that don't use protein skimmers, I being one of them. I'd like to get one down the road here soon, but on the 75 gallon, I'm running like, you know, the CW50, the algae scrubber. Yeah, that tends to do really well for me. It grows algae like crazy, but it removes a lot of the excess nutrients and stuff because I feed obviously very heavily in all my systems. But yeah, protein skimmers are where it's at.
Yeah, for sure. Wrong.
And then speaking on protein skimmers and getting waste out of your systems, I always think it's good to have, you know, some sort of filtration, whether it be an all-in-one system where you have like some sponge or a filter sock, Chaedo reactors, or just like a refugium. It's always good to have some sort of filtration to kind of remove some of the excess nutrients. And when you have these, many people like to slack off, you know, and leave their filter socks in long term and their sponges and stuff. And I mean, you can get away with that for a while, but eventually those will just become a nitrate factory and they're build up a bunch of nutrients because all your waste and stuff is sitting in there and your water is running through it constantly. So you got to think, like take that in consideration too. So you're just slowly building up nutrients over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a reef aquarium, we're striving to have pristine water. I mean, water quality is what we're looking for when we're keeping these animals. I often say, and I hear it said often, is that we are water keepers, not necessarily matter what fish or coral we're keeping. As long as we keep the water conditions and our parameters pristine, stable, you know, that's the key to reef keeping.
Definitely.
And so one thing that I learned early on is to get a RODI unit, a reverse osmosis deionization unit. That way you can make your own water at home. And then what that does is it filters water through these membranes that help eliminate or take out impurities and metals. And it goes through a sediment filter, a carbon filter, and then a DI resin filter that gets everything out of the water. So you're just left with pure zero TDS water for your aquarium.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I highly recommend them. It also saves you the trip to driving to a fish store and picking up water. I mean, if you have an emergency in the middle of the night, I don't know how many times it's saved me, but having to make fresh water for top off and then just make a fresh batch of salt water, having the water on hand. I would say it's probably a necessary piece of equipment depending on your situation. I know you work in the industry, so you get a lot of your water from where you're working at, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I that's what I usually do. But I have had situations where it would have been nice, you know, to have that at home. So I won't have to, you know, like drive into work to get water, or like it's in the middle of the night and I need to make water. And I've had to use, you know, like the tap because I had no other choice. And it definitely throws off your parameters some. The roadie water, you just like, as long as it's like zero TDS or very low TDS, I mean, your levels are going to be pretty consistent when you're mixing with your salt. So whatever your salt says is pretty much what you're going to have in your water. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's always a good way to look at it. Because, I mean, when I first got in the hobby, I really didn't know what RODI was or have a clue really. And I was using tap water and I was wondering why, oh, I have so much algae and I have all these issues. And I'm like, I'm doing water changes and I'm doing all this other stuff. But I found out that our water that I was using was super high in iron. So that definitely didn't help whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I started using roadie water and it like eliminated that pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I first started in the hobby, kind of sort of similar situation. I was using tap water for our first 29 gallon tank. And I think the most I did was I conditioned the water with like the chlorine removers. And then I ran it through like a bag of carbon. I would run it through there. But I mean, I eventually got into RODI units and I ended up getting a bulk reef supply, 100, and I upgraded it to the 150 gallon per day unit. But yeah, Aquatic Life USA, they make excellent RODI units and you can find their products on Amazon. So pretty necessary piece of equipment. Yeah, highly recommend them.
Definitely.
All right, so now it's time to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, and that's Printed Reef. And if you haven't seen the video already about five last-minute gifts that you need to get, let's take a look at this video right here. First up, we have coral sand stands from Printed Reef. Now, I talk highly about Printed Reef, and I talk about Printed Reef all the time because they make such high-quality 3D printed products for your reef tank. This is a sand stand that helps secure your coral frag into the sand. It's awesome. But that's not all Printed Reef has to offer. They have mushroom cages like this as well. That's a great stocking stuffer or gift for the new year. This will fit right into the stocking. Now, Printed Reef has a 25% off sale going on right now on anything Printed Reef at printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk. If you use the code thecoralreeftalk at checkout, you're gonna save 25%. And that's now until Christmas Day. So hurry up and get over there if you want your Printed Reef products like this nice Scully stand right here. They make all kinds of things from keeping your frags safe in the sand to frag racks that's all 3D printed to help keep your corals safe and secure. So go ahead, printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk. Use the code thecoralreeftalk at checkout. Save 25% off your order from now until Christmas Day. So make sure you get on over there to printedreef.com. Use the code thecoralreeftalk at checkout. You're going to save 25% off your order. And there's only a couple days left because it's almost Christmas. So get in there and get some Printed Reef stuff, you know. So
take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
And now we will jump into our scientific segment. Today we have the Gramma Loretto. This is the Royal Gramma. It is probably one of the most common fish in the hobby, second to like the clownfish. I'm not sure if that's because of Nemo or if that's just because they're so readily available. And a lot of
I don't know. It could be from Finding Nemo. I mean,
it could be.
This one's in the dentist office tank, right? So
yep, it is. But these come out of the Caribbean. We really don't see them much here in Florida unless you dive really deep. And even then, they're hard to find. So a lot of them you see in the Bahamas. We import them regularly out of Haiti. That's where a lot of their Royal Grammas come from that we know of today and see in the hobby. But they're scattered all throughout the Caribbean, and there's a bunch of other different species of bassinets. But yeah, today I just wanted to highlight the Royal Gramma and share a little bit about them. Super easy. They're colorful, pretty. I mean, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, they're super cool. One of my wife's favorite fish, and we have yet to get another one. This fish, though, for us, I think we've had maybe two in our whole time in the hobby, and they always seem to just go in the tank and hide on us and disappear.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, I got a couple in the Caribbean out there, and for like the first month, like, you'd barely see them. You'd throw some food in there, and they'd come out from the rock
yeah,
and then dart right back into the rock. But now they tend to just hang out in the middle of the water column. And I don't know if they're just like just used to us walking around and like not being a skittish or what. But I have had that issue in the past where they hardly ever come out. You hardly ever see them. You think they're gone and then you move some things around and you find them. And
Yeah, they pop back out. Yeah, it's just one of those things. They have to get used to what other fish are in the tank for sure.
Definitely.
But let's see, what other products do you think are necessary to have? I mean, I can think of a few. Talking about water movement, especially if you're going to keep corals alive in your tank, corals need water movement to get stuff away from them, bring stuff to them, keep their polyps moving. They just need a lot of water flow, and sometimes more water flow than we even think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it goes for both corals and fish. Mm-hmm. A lot of fish-only systems, specifically when you're adding a lot, like most fish-only systems are pretty heavily loaded down with fish, simply because you don't have like corals in there taking up a bunch of space, so you want something to fill the void. And the more fish you have, the more oxygen uptake you're going to have in the system. And having these wave makers, you know, that create movement for corals and oxygen in the water, they're also going to create oxygen for your fish. So the heavier bio loads you have, the more oxygen they can help produce, making it, you know, easier for the fish to breathe, more oxygen in the water for them, and overall just a lot better water movement in the system to keep the water circulating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you need the circulation to keep that food suspended so it's not breaking down in your tank. You need the surface agitation for oxygen, like you're talking about. So wave makers are extremely important. Do you have a favorite wave maker that you use?
So I used a few different ones because, I mean, I got the nano tanks and then I got a couple of the bigger tanks. But in the 75-gallon, I have the Reef Octopulse 2s. I really love them. They're very powerful and they're easy to use. And then on the deep water tank right here, I have the AI Nero 3s. I have two of those on there. A super heavy flow in this tank. They're ramped up pretty high, but I love those. They're really easy pumps. Mm-hmm. And then on the nano tanks, I have the little Ceche wave makers. They tend to work really well for the nano tanks. Just in the flow. So awesome. I really like those a lot. And they're relatively cheap. So
yeah. I mean, the Nero pumps have worked well for me. I have a Nero 3 and a Nero 5. However, saying that, my Nero 3 is like dead right now. I mean, they worked really well up until the Nero 3 is not working, but the Nero 5 is still going strong. I have the Higer wave maker, which has been excellent. I mean, once you set that thing up, program it, and you just forget about it. It's on its schedule. It's doing its thing. So
sweet.
It's nice. And it's got the small profile similar to the Nero pumps. So
yeah,
I mean, that's one thing I like about those pumps.
And I mean, I think another key factor in keeping aquariums is lighting.
Yes.
Lighting is very important, especially for growing corals. And believe it or not, your fish, you know, like to have a light schedule too. You know, they like to have that, you know, their scheduled daytime and their nighttime. But yeah, corals specifically, I mean, they obviously, photosynthetic corals need light to grow, and they like a good photo period. You want to have the same photo period, and I personally like to mimic the photo period that they live in the wild. So I try to time it just right, you know, sunset to sunrise. I'm changing the settings on my light on the Caribbean tank all the time, you know, just trying to match like almost the exact sunsets. And that could also help trigger spawning events and stuff too. So the more accurate photo period you have to where your corals come from, the better chance you have of them spawning and, you know, just overall health of the corals, giving them light to grow. I mean, there's a lot of factors that just light plays in corals and reef aquariums.
Yeah, absolutely. Lighting is super important. And there's always a debate whether you need like LED lights, and even the T5 LED light argument still going on to this day. But there's different lights for different styles of tanks. There's so many different options out there to choose from, and LED lights work just fine. I have, I have Aquatic Life USA Corex Pros over my tank, so it's growing my coral.
Yeah, I mean, also like pH, that plays a big factor with lighting. When you're photosynthesizing things in your tank, it also creates pH. It raises your pH levels.
One thing I would say about equipment that you should get is a pH probe. Is something I would recommend, or just a way to check your pH. But a pH probe is a way that you can just have something that you walk up to the tank and look at, or like an app on your phone that you can see on the regular, and you can see the trends in your pH, when it's going up, when it's going down and stuff like that. So you're not constantly having to manually test it. But that's something that I got early on, was a pH probe.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for checking out this Christmas edition of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. I hope you guys learned something today. Let us know in the comments below. Is there a aquarium product that you didn't know about that now you do? Or is there a product that you need to run out and get? And of course, you don't want to miss your chance to win the Reef Nutrition giant gift of $200, the e-gift card with the hat. Super awesome of Reef Nutrition to do that. But thank you so much for watching here on YouTube, listening to wherever you get your podcast. And we will see you next time on the Coral
Reef. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. See ya.